So in his book, The Hobbit, J.R.R. Tolkien tells the story of Bilbo Baggins. Bilbo Baggins is a hobbit who lives a very comfortable life in a comfortable hobbit hole in the ground in a hill. And he's part of this fantastical world that Tolkien has created. Hobbits are creatures who never go on adventures or never do anything exciting or never do anything risky. And that was kind of how Bilbo lived his life. He lived a comfortable life, smoking his pipe, lived in peace. Until a wizard named Gandalf showed up in his life, and a band of dwarves led by a dwarf named Thorin and invited him on this adventure to be a thief, to steal back the treasure that was the dwarves' family's treasure that had been taken by an evil dragon Smaug and was in the lonely mountain far away. So Bilbo finds himself in this new company with a wizard and dwarves, and they set off on this adventure together, a simple hobbit who's now on this journey to steal back treasure. And so they head east towards the mountain, and at first it doesn't seem so bad. They're riding their horses, their packs are filled, the dwarves are singing songs, the sun is shining. It feels like an awesome thing to be doing. But it doesn't take long before the funness wears off. The rain starts and the weather turns and they're cold and they're wet, and if that's not bad enough, they run into trolls who want to eat them, because that's what trolls do, and they work their way to escape the trolls, and it's dangerous, and then they finally get through the trolls and they get to the mountains, and there's giants who are hurling rocks at them, and then they run into goblins who are nasty mean creatures who drag them through these tunnels, and they're running for their life through the mountains against these angry goblins. Bilbo comes upon a creature named Gollum, and he finds a magic ring. But even for all of this fear and this danger, Bilbo keeps going on this journey. Even when it's scary and it's hard and it's tough, he keeps going, and they manage to escape the goblins only to be attacked by wolves, and they luckily make it out of there, and they find themselves at the edge of the Mirkwood Forest, and it's so dark, no sunshine comes in, and this was the last trek they had to go through to finally get to the Lonely Mountain and go up against the evil dragon Smaug. And one step after another, Bilbo keeps going, and he finds himself very far away from home. But as he takes each of these steps on this adventure that he's on, he finds himself becoming a different person. He finds himself becoming fiercer and bolder and more courageous. And even though he misses all of the comforts and the delicious things at home, he takes each step farther into this adventure, and he grows in his courage to keep on going. He was able to come to the rescue of the dwarves. They started respecting him and almost following him like a leader. And they finally come to this mountain to confront Smaug. And it's the bravest thing that Bilbo has ever had to do, to actually go into this dangerous mountain up against this adversary. And when they come up against him, they finally defeat him. There's a battle of the five armies. And when the battle is won, Bilbo's adventure comes to an end. And he finds himself making the journey back home. And he's faced all this hardship and danger and fear and adventure along the way. He finally makes his way back to his comfortable chair and his comfortable hobbit hole and back to his peaceful life. And the whole story takes about a year of time to happen. And at the end of it, Bilbo goes back home. He hangs his sword up over the fireplace. He takes off his armor and he puts it in the corner, and he goes back to living his comfortable, peaceful, easy life that he had created for himself. Even though he'd done all of these dangerous things, even though he'd done all of this hard stuff, he went back to his regular life. And he had the memories of what had happened, and he had the stories that he wrote down that he could tell people about. But what's interesting is the rest of his life went on unchanged because of the adventure that he'd experienced. Nothing in his life changed after this adventure. I mean, because really, who needs courage and fierceness in a comfortable hobbit hole when everything is peaceful? Now, many of us have done adventurous things in our life, right? Like, we've done, like, things and our heart rate was going and we were exhilarated by it, right? Like, we've jumped out of airplanes, or we've gone cliff diving, or we've gone flying, or we've done adventurous things that were exciting and our heart rate was soaring and we were excited about it, or we've traveled to faraway places and seen incredible things and we're like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to forget this, and they were awesome adventures to have. but they didn't change anything about us. Like, we came back and life as usual picked back up, right? Like, they were fun. We enjoyed them. We experienced a great time, but they didn't change anything about who we are today. Now, what's interesting about this is the journey that God is calling us on, it's more than this feeling of exhilaration. It's more than just this moment that gets your heart rate pumping and is a lot of fun for like a minute. It changes our future. It changes our lives and calls us into the very potential of who we might be. And that is exactly the kind of journey that Abraham went on with God. There was no going back. There was no returning home. There was no doing these awesome things and then picking back up his whole old life. When he went forward in faith with God, everything changed. His life changed. His family changed. His future changed. Generations of his family changed, all because Abraham went on this adventure with God, because of this first step of faith that he took with him. And last week, we kind of got like the big picture panoramic view of Abraham's life. We got to see from beginning to end kind of these promises that he made. But today, I want to start at the very beginning. So we're going to rewind in Abraham's life about 25 years. And we're going to go to the first time that he really meets God and see what happens there. So Abraham's about 75 years old when he first encounters God. And at this point in his life, the Bible doesn't give us this huge background on Abraham. Remember, we just know his family line. We know whose dad is. Who his dad's dad is. We know how it all goes through. And we know where he lives. He lives in Ur of the Chaldeans, which is Mesopotamia. And we know some of who his family members is. Now, what we know about Mesopotamia is actually a ton. We know a lot about their culture. And they worshipped a ton of mythical gods. I mean, there was just all kinds of idols that they worked with. And the main one was the moon god Sin. And to Abraham and his family, this was normal. This was the culture that they grew up in, the idols, the mythology, all of that was a normal part of their life and what they did. They accepted it as true. Until the day that God met Abraham. Abraham met God, and that's when everything changed. And Genesis chapter 12 is where we're going to start, starting at verse 1. The Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And then look at verse 4. So Abraham went, as the Lord told him, and Lot, his nephew, went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. I know it says Abram. I promise it's not a spelling mistake. Remember, God's going to change his name to Abraham. We're just keeping it so that it's not confusing for us. But Abraham, this is his first encounter with God. I mean, like, just think about it for a second. Like, if God's going to show up, God who is, like, majestic and awesome and wonderful and full of splendor, like, we would listen. Like, we would hear what God was saying, and we would listen. He's unquestionably awesome God. He shows up, and people listen. But there's three really incredible things that happen here when Abraham encounters God for the first time. The first thing is, God shows up with a command, right? Like, we don't have this backstory that leads up to it. We literally have, this is what God says to Abraham. I want you to go somewhere that I'm going to show you. I want you to leave your home, and I want you to go to this new place that I'm going to show you where to go. God basically commands Abraham when he meets him to leave his home and go to this new place that he would show him. That's the first thing that happens as a command. But then he follows it up with an incredible promise. So when God says to Abraham, go, he says, this is what I'm going to do. And it's really interesting because it's an unconditional promise. Like, God doesn't say, if you go, this, and this, but you have to do this, and this. He just says, here's what's going to happen. He says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you into a great nation. And remember, when God makes this promise to Abraham, Abraham has no kids. He is 75 years old when God shows up and says, you're going to have not just kids, but like descendants so many that a nation is going to be connected to you. An entire nation is going to be able to trace back their history to you. So God says, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to make you into a great nation. But then he says, I'm going to bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and on him who dishonors you, I will curse. So God puts this promise, this divine blessing into Abraham of what he's going to do. It's like, you're going to be famous. People are going to know about you, and you're going to be a blessing to them. Your life is going to prosper, and your family is going to prosper. And this prosperity, this blessing that you're going to get from me, it's going to lead to joy, and it's going to lead to greatness. But I'm not just going to prosper you. I'm not just going to bless you and grow you. I'm also going to protect you. I'm going to be with you, and there are going to be people that you're going to come across, and they're going to seek good, and I'm going to bless those people, and there are going to be people who seek to do you harm, and I'm going to take care of them. Like, I've got your back. I'm going to go with you, and I'm going to protect you on the way. So he says to Abraham, he's going to make him into a great nation. He's going to bless him. He's going to protect him. And then his last promise is this: in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, sometimes it's easy to just like read over verses in the Bible and go on to the next, but this is a big deal. Like, who are all the families of the world? Everybody, right? Like, all the families of the earth will be blessed. The whole world will be blessed because of you. That's a big promise God is making, right? And look, there's no conditions to it. Like, only if you do the right thing, Abraham. No, it's, I'm going to bless the entire world through you. So we have to think about that for a second. Charles Swindoll wrote an incredible book about the life of Abraham. If you want to go a little bit deeper, he's an incredible writer. I'm going to kind of reference him a couple of times throughout the series. And he actually dives in real deep to Abraham's life. This is what he said. He said, God situated Israel on a little land bridge nestled between the expansive Arabian desert and the vast Mediterranean Sea. Anyone traveling between the great empires of the ancient world, Egypt, Assyria, and Babylon, had to pass through the land promised to Abraham's descendants. If Israel remained faithful to their calling, merchants, armies, and vagabonds would see a blessed nation and ask, who is this incredible king who makes you so prosperous and secure? And the Hebrew people could answer, our king is the God of Abraham. Would you like to meet him? Like, this is what God was doing. Part of this promise that God was making to Abraham was a plan that God was implementing to do his incredible work in the world. And with this promise, God started this incredible process where a nation would be built and grow and know God through this incredible faith. And that nation would point the way to Jesus Christ, who would come into the world so that all who call on the name of Christ would be saved. A whole world would be blessed. And look at what God starts with, a man named Abraham. So God shows up and he commands Abraham to go, and then he makes all these incredible promises about what he's going to do. And then what does Abraham do? Abraham went, just as the Lord told him. He acted on this belief. Okay, God made this promise. I believe that God's going to do this. And he believed it and went. So at 75 years old, he packs up his life, he packs up all of his possessions, he gets all of his stuff together, gets his family, his wife, his nephew together, and left everything behind that he knew. Left his family, left his friends, uprooted everything, and took this incredible step of faith with God. But what a huge step it was, right? Like, he didn't know where he was going. God said, I'm gonna lead you, I'm gonna show you the place that you're gonna go. And that's where you're going to go. Like, could you just imagine Abraham's conversation with his wife for a second? Like, we're married, we know. Abraham's like, so Sarah, I was talking to God, and God wants us to move. I know, we've lived here our whole life. I know we're ready to retire. I know our friends are here. I know we're situated. I know things are good. Where are we going? I don't know. Like, we're just going to go, right? Like, that had to be a fun conversation, right? A little bit of faith built up there. But Abraham met God, and he believed this promise that God was going to do what he said he was going to do, and he took this first step of faith with God. I mean, this literally is his first step of faith. He believed what God said. He acted on it. He packed up his life, grabbed his family, and left. And he went not knowing, but believing in God what he would do. All right, so we get to look at this and we get to say, okay, this is what Abraham did. Now what do we do? Because remember, Paul told us last week, this is written down for us as well, that we might learn and we might grow and we might deepen our faith. So if that's what Abraham did, I want to give us a couple really specific things to think about what we might do as well. So I'm going to give you three ideas, and if you're writing things down, these are great three things to write down. If you're taking notes in the app, they're in there as well on the church app. So here's the first thing I want us to consider. We all have to start somewhere. Everybody has a beginning. Everybody has a starting point. And I know sometimes it's super easy to like read about people in the Bible and be like, well, they're people in the Bible, right? Like they're heroes of faith and they always believed. They always knew. They always had faith. They always had courage. Of course they knew God, right? Like, of course they knew what God would do. But when God showed up in the life of Abraham, listen, Abraham was an idol worshiper. There's actually a verse in Joshua that talks about Abraham and his family line, and they followed other gods. They lived fully in the culture that they lived in, and they followed the precedents that the culture set, and they worshiped these other idols and everything that went along with it. But still, God found Abraham. God found him right where he was, and he called him, and he chose him, and he brought him to this new place in this new life, because that's what God does. That's what God has always been in the business of doing. God finds us where we are and shows us the way to go. And listen, Abraham's start came very late in his life. He was 75 years old. Like most of us in our imaginings aren't saying, I'm going to get to 75 and then I want to start over from scratch, right? Like I want to get to 75. I want to scrap everything I've done up to that point. I want to make a fresh start, sell all of my stuff, sell my home, and go on a new adventure. Like we're pretty much planning the opposite. Like, I want to get to 75 and have stuff paid off. I want to make it comfortable. Abraham's start came very, very, very late on his life. But here's what's true for us. No matter where we are, there is zero reason that we can't start today. I mean, there's nobody that God can't save. There's no life that God can't change, and there's no future that God can't do an incredible work in. It doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter how young we are. It doesn't matter what life experiences have come before. God can find us right now where we are and do an incredible work in us and through us. It doesn't matter how many mistakes that we've made. It doesn't matter how many bad choices have kind of come and gone, and we are never so far gone that the grace of God can't find us. There is no place that we can be that God can't do something in us. Because listen, it was by grace that God found Abraham and chose him. It was by grace. It wasn't anything Abraham did. It was everything that God did. And it is the same grace of God that calls us today. The same grace of God that finds us just where we are and leads us on a new adventure with him. Every one of us can start right where we are today with God. And I know there are a million reasons you can't, right? Some of them are probably running through your head right now. It's too hard. There's too much pain. There's too much history. There's too much background, too much sadness. I don't have enough to start. Like, I'm not Abraham, right? Like, I could never do what Abraham did, or I'm not smart enough. I don't have things together enough. There's so many things I have to get done first, right? Like, we have all of these reasons going through. Start anyways. We can all start anyways. It doesn't matter that we don't have enough. We don't, but God does. And what happens is when we take our step of faith with God, we recognize that we don't have enough. And do you know what happens? We are so much more dependent on God. We trust him in an incredibly new way. Imagine what changed in Abraham's life when he left everything and started off in a new direction. He was praying. Like, he was like, God, you promised. You said you would show me. You said you would bless me. What's up next? Right? Like, he was fully engaged in his relationship with God because of all the space that opened up in his heart and in his life just because he started. There's always reasons not to start. Always. We could think of a billion of them, and they're probably good. But start anyways. No matter what has come before, God meets us just where we are, and he calls us to follow him. And he says, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to provide for you, and I'm going to protect you, and I'm going to lead you in the way that you should go. But here's where it makes this like the nitty-gritty and the hard. It's the courage to start. It's the courage to take that very first step and go forward with God. I mean, every day we're making steps and we're making choices and we're doing things that are building our life. And whether it's toward God or away from God or holding us where we are, every single day we're making steps. We all have to start somewhere. What if we started right where we are today? And here's the second thing I want us to see. We might have to leave some things behind. When it was time for Abraham to go, he had to leave his home. He had to leave his country. He left his reputation, the name that he'd built up for himself in the area that he lived. He left family and friends. He left a life that he knew and was comfortable with. But listen to what Charles Swindoll said. He said, to receive his promised blessings, Abraham had to leave behind everything he relied on for safety and provision, homeland and relatives, and trust that God would honor his commitment. I mean, that's no mistake. Abraham left what he relied on, and he relied on God differently. He left what he knew, believing that God's promise was worth it, believing that what God said he would do was worth it, and that he would do just what he said he would do. And he believed his life would be better because of it. I mean, he left some things behind. We know that's not easy, but listen, the blessings of God far outweighed anything he gave up. I mean, we're going to see this as Abraham's life unfolds. Everything Abraham left behind was nothing compared to what God had in store for him. I mean, God didn't just bless him figuratively. God blessed him literally, and he got rich, and he got so big that he and his nephew had to separate, and we're going to talk about that. But literally, God prospered him in the process of following him. He lived this new life, and it was better than anything that he walked away from. The same is true for us today. When it comes to following God, there are some things that we might need to leave behind. I mean, it's never easy. Sacrifice never is. I mean, faith isn't made up of easy choices and the easiest decisions that we'll ever make. But there are things we've been carrying around and hanging on to for too long, and it's time to let some of them go. For some of us, that's pain. We've been carrying around the pain of our past for so long and so consistently that it's just become rooted in who we are. It's become our identity. It's become who we are today. To follow God, we have to walk away from letting the pain define us. We have to walk away from accepting that that's just always how life is going to be and start turning to Christ to find new hope in him. For some of us, that's anger. We've been angry for a really long time. We're angry at people. We're angry at circumstances. We're angry at life. We're angry at God. Like, we're just angry. And this anger over time has built up and built up and built up until it's just this deep-seated bitterness that lives within inside of us. And it weighs our decisions, and it holds us back from living a new and better life. Maybe it's time to give up the anger. Maybe it's time to stop letting the anger control us, right? Like, we were justified in feeling angry, right? Like, we might have all of the reasons in the world why we were right to feel anger. Whatever happened, it wasn't fair, and the person was wrong, and they shouldn't have done it. But now it's time to live our life, not theirs. Now it's time to put that to the side, not a life of what should have been, but the very life that we have today and what might be. And to do that means I got to give up the anger. I got to stop clinging to it. I got to stop wearing it as a shield on how I confront life. I got to give up that right to feel it every single day. And I got to let the light of Christ shine in my heart so I can start seeing things differently. For some of us, there might be people we need to walk away from. Whether they've hurt us or squashed us or just leading us in ways that we shouldn't go. We've just given them too much power in our life to define and control who we are. Their voice has become stronger than the very one that we should be listening to and following. Look, we always talk about we got to be kind. We got to be compassionate, right? Like, we're not going to be jerks. But it doesn't mean we can't set healthy boundaries about who we give permission to influence us. It doesn't mean we can't set boundaries about who we let have a voice and a decision in how we do life and guide us. And sometimes we've given way too much permission to the wrong people who aren't invested in seeing us become who Christ has designed us to be. For some of us, it's stepping away from a life that we were never meant to live. We've settled into a life and got comfortable there, but it's never who we were supposed to be. Maybe we stepped away from our faith, like not in outwardly large ways, right? Like we're now out doing horrible things that are going to show up on the evening news, but in the silence of our hearts, we know. We stopped believing a long time ago. We stopped following a long time ago. And while maybe our life isn't bad, it was never who we were supposed to be. God makes the same promises to us. Anytime we've got to step away from things that aren't who we were supposed to be or what we were supposed to do or what we were supposed to give permission to our life to, the blessings of God will far outweigh anything that we sacrifice. The blessings of God will far outweigh anything that we give up. But do we have the courage to take that step? The courage to follow him and believe that the promises of God are true and he will do what he says he will do? Do we have the courage to believe that God has an incredible future he is creating for us, for you, for me? And there are things I need to step away from so I can live out that incredible future with him. And then here's the last idea I want you to hear. We all have to start somewhere. There are things we need to leave behind. They are weighing us down, and they are heavy and not helpful. But then we get to decide what step are we going to take. Have you ever heard the expression before, like, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? Like, you can't eat an elephant, it's huge, but you can take a bite at a time and you can whittle it down, and the same is true for life, right? Like, Abraham didn't go from one step of faith to being a father of nations. It didn't happen overnight. In fact, we're going to study 25 years of his life. It took 25 years, all of these steps along the way, for Abraham to see some of these promises that God made into fruition. We're going to do a series one of these weeks on waiting. Have you ever heard of wait before? Like, 25 years of waiting is not easy, let's just be honest for a second. I don't like waiting in the drive-thru, like, let alone 25 years. Okay, but God had this incredible future of what he wanted to do in Abraham, and he had to take steps along the way that got him where he wanted to be. And the same is true for us today. My kids have soccer starting in the spring, and so we've started running together and trying to, like, practice and get ready for the spring season. I'm not a runner. Like, I have no aspirations to be a runner or run a marathon. People who do that are amazing. I'm no interest. Do you know the hardest part of running? It's putting your shoes on and getting out the door, right? Like, there are so many reasons that you don't want to, and there are so many reasons not to, and you're comfortable, and it's cold, and there's a lot. The hardest step is putting on the stinking tennis shoes, opening up the door, and walking outside. You know, starting sometimes feels like the hardest step. The first step that we have to take feels so hard. But can I please remind us, the hardest step that ever had to be taken for us was already done in Jesus Christ. Christ took the hardest step that needed to be done for our faith when he gave his life on the cross. Christ never asks us to do anything harder than he's already done himself. Abraham took his first step, and it was a big step. But look, God made promises to see him through to the next one. And we all have steps that we can take. Every one of our journeys has one step forward that we can take today, that we can start with right now towards a new life, a new faith, a new future, and who God is calling us to be. For some of us, that very first step is just a simple statement of faith. I believe in God. I believe that Jesus Christ came into the world that he might give his life for us, that he died and was raised again, and he did that for us because God loves us and wants to find us and call us by name. And sometimes that first step is simply just giving our hearts to Jesus Christ. It's opening up a door in our hearts that says, I'm done trying to do it by myself. all of the time. I don't want to anymore. It's opening up our life to Christ and saying, I want to follow you, and giving our lives to him. For some, it's time to take that first step to just saying, I believe in Jesus Christ and I want to follow him. For some of us, the step we need to take is to get back on track. We've wandered away over time. I mean, life has a way of just lulling us into complacency. And it's nothing big. It's nothing that was extreme that happened. It just was over time. We've slowly gotten off track, right? Like, we never really stopped believing in God, but we stopped living like we do. We've lost that vision that he gave us, that he wanted to accomplish in our lives. We've stopped pursuing that dream of who he said we could be. We've stopped living with him and stopped living for him, and we settled somewhere along the way. We settled in a place we weren't ever supposed to stay, and that fire's gone out in our heart. Our passion for him has grown dim. Maybe for us there, we just need to take a step back to Christ today. We need to take a step back that says, I'm sorry, I've gotten off track. I'm sorry, I've veered off in the wrong direction. I'm sorry, I've stopped listening to your voice. I'm sorry that I've settled for lesser things in my life. And I just need you to show me your way. Maybe we just need to say to God, fill my heart with you. Like, ignite in me a new desire and a new passion to follow you. Give me the courage to step back with you and keep going. And we just need to ask God to show us the way. Or maybe for some of us, we need the courage and the strength to keep on going because the road is long and we are tired. Do you ever get to the end of the day and you just don't even know if you have enough to finish? Let alone do it all again the next day. Like, life does that to us. It's exhausting, and we're tired, and we're worn. We've said yes to following Christ, and we've twisted and turned along the way, and it's not been perfect, but we're still going, and we're still trying today, and now we just need the faith to finish strong. We just need the courage to keep taking steps every single day to the future that God is calling us towards. We're praying, God, please give me the energy not to quit. Give me the energy to take one more step every single day with you. We need the heart of God calling to us, reminding us why it's worth it. Reminding us why we said yes to begin with. Reminding us that he's God and there's nothing too hard for him. There is nothing that he can't do. Friends, no matter where we are today, we can all take a step toward God. We can all take a step in faith this week. I heard this incredible quote and I love it. The journey of 1,000 steps begins with 1 step. We don't have to take 1,000 steps today. We can take 1. So here's what I want to pray for us. Pray with me that God will call to us and we can each find the 1 step of faith that we need to take next to step into that future that God has been promising us. Dear Father, I pray that you would please incline our hearts towards you. I thank you for the life of a man named Abraham, Father, who had the courage to step in faith with you into this new life that you had promised. I pray for myself. I pray for every single heart here, Father, that we would hear your voice speaking to us, calling us in the way that we should go. I pray, dear God, that you would help find us, no matter where we are today, that we would have the courage to start. For those who need to make the first step of faith with you, Father, I pray that you would call them by name, that they would hear your voice speaking to them powerfully. This is the way, walk in it. I pray that you would grab hold of their hearts. They would make a commitment of faith to you, and life would be forever changed because of it. For those, Father, who have veered off over time, I pray that you would bring them back. I pray that you would help them to stop settling for lesser things and to go all in on their faith with you. I pray that their lives would be lit on fire with a passion to serve you in new and right and rich ways. And Father, for those who need the energy and the courage to finish strong, I pray that your grace and your strength would be present in our hearts, calling us to follow you better than we've ever followed you before. I pray, Father, that in all of this, the name of Jesus Christ would be glorified. In his name we pray. Amen.